Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER available in the U.S. For New York, 8778-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. In today's episode, I'm going to help you parents out there that are trying to get some R&R, a little relaxation, a little time away from the kids, but at the same time, you're worried about the kids. You want to make sure that you stay on point because you know summer's coming around, and everybody knows during summertime, it's hard to keep any sort of structure or any sort of a semblance of like a normal life. So to help you guys with this downtime, I'm going to give you guys my favorite books that aren't just going to tell you what to say or what to do with your kids. It's going to help you see the bigger picture, why you should take a social health approach when trying to help your kids with their mental health. So the books I'm going to highlight right now, I've talked about randomly one of these books in a podcast. I've talked about these books when I do speaking engagements, but I've never done a podcast where I highlight these specific books and why I think you should listen or read them. I kind of gave away that I'm more of an Audible guy, obviously. If you think that just telling your kids what to do, going to therapy, and focusing on the problem is going to give you the outcomes and solutions you want, from my experience, it's not likely. When I help my parents, I don't usually give them typical, I mean, I can at times, but I don't typically give them, here's a parenting book that was written by a therapist to tell you how to talk to your kids. The reason why I do that is not because I don't think that there's great books out there that you can do that with. I'm just more concerned about the whole overall philosophy about how you see your family, how you see your child, and how you see your role. Is your role is the boss to tell the employee what to do, or is your role to help that employee develop personal, professional, in some cases, right? Teach them how to work, and social skills that can help them so that they can someday take over your family business. The first book I'm going to highlight is called The Village Effect by Susan Pinker. Susan Pinker is a social psychologist. She wrote this amazing book, and her intention of the book was pretty simple. She just wanted to know why some people, and she was traveling around the world, and she had experience with her grandparents she talked about in the book, but why do some people live to 100 years old, but they're not connected to a bunch of wires? They're not like, you know, at a hospital and on life support, just barely getting by, but they're living to 100 years old and they're still a part of their family. They still are active and they're engaged. But she found that there's a common factor that there are certain places of the world, certain countries, certain areas that this is a very common thing where people live well into their 90s and 100s and they're not just laying in bed waiting to die. They're actually, you know, happy while they're living. And so she starts off the book telling a story about her grandparents, and she illustrates something, a little spoiler, it's in the very beginning of the book, that you can die of a broken heart. And that's the story she talks about her parents. And so when she saw her grandparents, I should say, when she saw, you know, one of them die of a broken heart because the other one had passed away, it just kind of took her down this path. And it's similar to my experience when I started in psychology and in graduate school, and I was working at group homes and psychiatric hospitals. I was seeing all the problems of everybody struggling and, you know, having mental health. But I was more concerned, like, what was the common factors that all these hundreds of people I'd see had, and, you know, had that were similar to one another. And that's what Susan does in this as well. But the reason why I got to suggest this book to you guys, when you read this book, you will feel that the solution is very simple to your family, your community, even the company that you work at. You'll see the solution is very simple. It's not hard to apply the solution, but it's simple to understand it. And the solution I'm referring to is that when you have better relationships in and amongst your family and friends and coworkers, you get better ideas, you get more work done, there's less bitterness and gossiping and resentfulness. You get so much more out of those experiences. People are able to magnify each other's talents instead of constantly coming up against roadblocks of petty arguments and differences that don't really move the bottom line, that don't really matter at the end of the day. So that's Susan R. Pinker, The Village Effect. Now, the next one I want to go over with you guys is called Social by Matthew Lieberman. Matthew Lieberman, I definitely quote him more so than any other psychologist, which is interesting and weird to me because to me, he's like the man. Like, he does all this research at UCLA. He's a Harvard-trained psychologist. His wife, his team, they have a social laboratory. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. And it's weird to me that he's not more known. Well, when I tried to share we did some reels where I highlighted him giving his TED talk, and I tried to share and connect with him. He's got no social media. He's got nothing going on. This guy is all about it. He's not talking about it. He's doing it. In fact, he's so busy doing social health and how to understand the human brain that he's not trying to promote it, or he doesn't even try to promote his own TED talk. So I like that. That's why I got to give him a shout out. And I want you guys to be careful when you read this book or listen to this book, simply because don't get intimidated because he is so smart. I don't know somehow, or not somehow, I don't know if really smart people can say normal words sometimes. So there are some words in there that I had to Google and I had to look up because I didn't even understand what he's talking about. I read the book once, made notes, but when I listened to the book the second time, I got more out of it. So just, you know, that might be a book you might want to listen to and just jot down some notes. But the interesting thing about his book is he gets into the brain. His wife and his team, they've done something about studying the brain that uses fMRI studies. It's like a normal MRI machine, but it's able to scan the brain without you being dead. So typically in the past, people had to be dead and then open up the brain and go look at it. This way they can test people, they drink dye, they ask people questions, and they can see when they answer the questions or when they're doing activities and they play these games in these social laboratories, they can see what part of the person's brain would light up based upon the question, based upon if something in a game that they're doing, the person felt unfair, what part of the brain lit up. When they showed people pictures of their family, friends, and things that they're interested in, what part of the brain lights up. So as they went through all this research for years, they started to see some pretty shocking, actually, it's not shocking in the sense that it's like surprising, it's shocking because it was so simple. And his, one of the things that he says in the book that really stood out to me, he said, evolution made a bet. And what he's referring to is he's referring to as a scientist, like as we've evolved as human beings, regardless whether you believe in the theory of evolution, not like that. He was just talking about kind of like as an example. It goes, evolution made a bet. It made the bet, like, how are we going to get human beings to be the most dominant creature on this planet? And so evolution, he's like, evolution could have made us smarter, could have made us bigger, stronger, faster. It could have copied some other animals out there in the animal kingdom. It could have caused us to grow fangs so we had sharp teeth or claws to defend ourselves better or to look a certain color to like camouflage us in nature. But he said that's not what evolution decided to bet on. Evolution decided to bet on one thing in particular, and that was to make us more social, simply because there's strength in numbers. And our brains vibe off of other people's ideas, take someone else's idea, we add our idea, next you know, we built something 10 times better than us because we had 10 other people that had 10 other life experiences, 10 other thoughts, feelings, ideas, and talents that all contributed into that. So evolution made us more social, which is why we're able to come together and form villages and communities, eventually cities. You know, we've just been hardwired through our evolution process to care about what other people think about us. So if we're unsure how our parents feel about us and we're a kid, that could mean death, because we're mammals and our parents need to take care of us, or someone needed to take care of us up until we're in our teen years, or else we wouldn't be alive right now. So he breaks down how we've evolved to be more social. He breaks down one of the main components of how our brain does that is it decided to hack into our pain receptors. So when we see someone else going through a really difficult, hard time, our brain sends us pain signals so that we feel pain. The reason why it wants us to feel pain is because if we're watching someone else's struggles and that struggle creates a painful response, well, pain is usually a notificator for us to do something about it. So that's how we come to our family and our friends' aid and care about people when we watch a random, like, you know, GoFundMe account video and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to go help that person out. We don't even sometimes know the person, or we don't even have to know the person. We just have to feel something for that person or their situation, and that's where the
camera. Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to place same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hiring comes in. So in the book, it talks about that's another way that evolution got us to be more social, is because if you're in pain, I come help you when you're in need of help. Your brain not only remembers the pain, but also remembers the relief that I provided. So now when you see me in pain, or if you see me post something that I'm going through a surgery, I don't have any money or whatever it may be, then you're going to have this signal to your brain said, I have to relieve his hurt and pain because he relieved mine. Now, does everyone always act upon that signal? No. I know some people have gotten pretty good at blocking that helping other people out signal, and they just focus on themselves. That's obviously what he's not talking about in this book, but it just makes us more social when we feel pain for other people. So check that book out, Matthew Lieberman, Social. There's tons of great research in there. And when you're reading that book, he talks about autism. He talks about what it's like for someone to have autism, because autism is a social disorder. If you can't understand what people's facial expressions, the tone of voice, and what all those things mean, and like what is the message behind what they're saying, then you're going to stumble and falter and sometimes miserably fail in social situations. And he talks about how our social health, now he doesn't use the word social health, because social health was something that we created here in Utah. It wasn't something that he actually was stating, but I'm very confident when he hears the description, when he hears what we talk about social health, he'll be like, oh yeah, that's what I was talking about. Okay, the last book is, let me put it up here, it's called Tribe by Sebastian Unger. Tribe, really, when I first got this book, this one really helped me see that all the work that Matthew Lieberman had been doing, all the work that I've been doing in private practice, so I'm a practitioner of psychology, I'm administering psychology, where Matthew Lieberman, he's a researcher, he's a studier of psychology. So I need his information to help me know if I'm going down the right path or if I'm off. And he needs my insight and information to validate that his research has applicability in regular day-to-day life. Well, Sebastian Unger's Tribe was really, really interesting book, because he talks about history of human beings, on how we all have this thing inherently inside of us that we're actually better when we're struggling. Meaning when other people around us are struggling, we have a more humanistic side. We care more about the person, the spirit. We care less about, you know, if they're rude to us 2 weeks ago, because if we just found out they're dying of cancer today, 2 weeks ago, they're rude to us, we give them a pass for 2 weeks ago, and let's focus on their current situation. He talks about his own life story. He talks about how he went around to different types of people and was seeing these common things where people really came closer in struggle. But it really came to hit the forefront of his knowledge when he started. So he's a journalist, he's a reporter. He started following special ops operators through like Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, those types of guys. He was following them overseas and just documenting, journaling everything they're going through. And then he noticed when they were coming back how some of them would struggle with PTSD and some of them wouldn't struggle, or their struggles were more manageable and a lot less. And he was curious about what it was. Well, then he started looking into some research and he started to see some things that were very interesting to him as well. And what was interesting to him was that the people that came back from war, the number one determining factor of how bad their PTSD was, wasn't how much action they saw. It wasn't like, oh, if you had one of your friends die, then your PTSD will be this high. But if you've had five of them die, then it's gonna be this high. But if you had no friends die, then it can only be this high. There is no way to gauge of like how much you saw or what pain you experienced if that was gonna manifest you having worse PTSD or not. The number one determining factor was how you were received when you came home from war. And that's what caught my attention. Because I see the same thing when I have a client of mine that goes to the psych hospital for a suicide attempt. A lot of how they're going to continue their treatment or even try to overcome their struggles that led them to the psych hospital, a lot of that is determined by how they're received after the hospital, how their parents or family and friends engage with them while they're in the hospital. So if nobody comes and visits them, no one calls them, that's not going to be helpful. And then after the fact, if they just go back to their normal day-to-day life and they don't really make any changes from that, then it's going to eventually just go back to their regular habits. And he saw that the Native Americans were the group of people, of hunter-gatherers, that we could really get good, accurate information because, you know, they weren't like 2,000 years ago. Obviously, they're up in just a couple hundred years ago, and they still exist in some manner. There's obviously people went through those times. We can't talk them, but there's enough research to find out that Native Americans, they had a very strict social contracts that they agreed upon. So for example, there's no influencers in the Native American culture. There is no person that was trying to be above everybody else. In fact, if you were above everyone else, if you just tried to take more food or water or resources, you were harshly punished and you were potentially kicked out of the tribe. And going back to what Matthew Lieberman talked about in his books, if you do not have a group of people to help you gather resources, then you're going to die. In fact, Matthew Lieberman, he was the one that he came out and he made a bold claim. He said, Abraham Maslow, the guy who we all went to school and learn about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, how the most important need is the food, water, shelter need, right? Like that's the most important need. And Matthew Lieberman said, no, he's actually wrong. It's social connection and social contracts. Because if you don't have social connections and social agreements with other people, then you're not going to get your natural resources needed met. So if it's just you by yourself and you get sick, you can't take care of yourself when you're sick. You can't fix the roof in your little teepee or whatever it was when you're sick. You can't do a lot of things when you're sick. So your higher probability was to work with other people, agree upon certain ways that the society or the village has to operate, and then after that, come to each other's aid when each other is struggling. That was what really took me to another level of understanding why social interactions are the best chill pill. When you have close connection with people, you understand where someone else is thinking and feeling, your anxiety about, are you okay with that person, is a lot calmer. And if you feel like you're okay with that person, your brain goes, hey, if you need extra food, they'll help you out because you guys are cool. Like they're not going to leave you hanging. They're not going to leave you without resources because you guys are in a good place. So Tribe, Sebastian Unger, please go get that book. Now there's another book called Tribes. I've also listened to that book. I'm not saying that's a bad book. Tribe is more what I want you guys to focus on to help you see the bigger picture. And what is the bigger picture, in my opinion, is how we interact with each other as human beings. We are mentally unhealthy because our social health, now granted, there's a lot, mental health is real. People can be born with a predisposition to certain mental health issues. This is without a doubt. But that's a small percentage of human beings. Most of it is a combination of your DNA when you're born, like what you're going to be more sensitive to, what you're going to be more likely to struggle with or have strengths with, and your interactions and your experiences with your family, with people in your early developmental stages of life. Those are going to be big determining factors. In developmental stages of life, all the way up into teenage years, into adulthood, but definitely child to teenage years, those are going to tell a lot about where your mental health is going to be, your coping skills to improve mental health, and to even notice when your mental health is not good. And I'm telling you guys, all these books will help you see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, it's about your relationship health. Even if you have bipolar, if you have better relationship with your therapist, you trust your therapist more, you're going to tell your therapist more of what's really going on, and your therapist is going to be a better therapist because they got better information. Same thing with the doctor, same thing with anyone else. So you're going to have better interactions, have better ideas working with people and amongst people when they better understand you. And people are going to understand you better when you have better communication. Well, you're going to have better communication if you've had experiences communicating with other people and it went well. And that's what having good social health is. Well, check out those three books, you guys. If you're like me, put on Audible, lay on the beach. If you're on spring break, wherever you're at, going on your hikes, check out these books. They're not going to make you just better parents. They're going to make you better people, better friends, better coworkers, and overall, just happier. Well, you guys, until next time, thank you for following OG Therapy Podcast. Follow us on all social media podcasts. And you can even check out our sponsor, Shy, S-H, lowercase I, on Instagram and on TikTok as well. There's a lot of good social health content on talking about social health on TikTok now. Follow her. Her name is Evie Mahe. You can check out stuff she's posting. Super fun, super exciting. And also big shout out to our studio sponsor here, Happy Rabbit Productions. If you want a dope movie made, don't think about it. Call them, hit them up in the DM. And until next time, be cool.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.